The religion of Islam. The sources of religion. Islam is the guidance which was first inspired by the Almighty in human nature, and after that it was given by Him with all essential details to mankind through His prophets. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of these prophets. Consequently, it is now He alone who in this world is the sole source of this religion. It is only through Him that man can receive divine guidance, and it is only He who through His words, deeds, or tacit approvals has the authority to regard something as part of Islam until the Day of Judgment. From the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this religion has been given to the Ummah through the consensus of his companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and through their perpetual practice and perpetual recitation in two forms, the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran was revealed by Allah to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last of the prophets, and it has since then remained with the Ummah with the unanimous verdict from the Ummah itself that it is this very book which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which his companions radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum, through their consensus and through their perpetual recitation, delivered to the world without the slightest alteration. The Sunnah. By Sunnah is meant that tradition of Prophet Abraham's religion which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam instituted among his followers as religion after reviving and reforming it and after making certain additions to it. There is no difference between it and the Quran as far as its authenticity is concerned. Just as the Quran has been received by the Ummah through the consensus of the Prophet's companions radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum and through their perpetual recitation, the Sunnah has been received by it through their consensus and through their perpetual practice, and stands validated like the Quran in every period of time through the consensus of the Ummah. The essence of religion. The essence of religion in Quranic terms is ibadah, or worship of God. Worship means humility and servility. If this humility and servility exists in a person with a true comprehension of the mercy, power, providence, and wisdom of the Almighty, then it is instrumental in totally humbling a person before Him with His great love and great fear. This humbling of a person before the Almighty is, in fact, an internal feeling. Remembering God, expressing gratitude to Him, fearing His displeasure, devoting oneself to Him, showing trust in Him, submitting oneself and all of one's affairs to Him, and pleasing Him at every step. All of these are the inner manifestations of His relationship between the worship God and His worshippers. In the external self, this humility and civility appears in the external manifestations of worship, which are kneeling, prostrating, glorifying and praising the Almighty, supplicating before Him, and devoting life and wealth for His pleasure. However, since a person is not mere beliefs, he also has a practical existence in this world, this worship relates to this practical existence as well, and in this manner becomes inclusive of obedience. It now requires that a person's outer self also bow down before the Creator before whom his inner self has bowed. Definition of religion. When worship, in order to fulfill the rights of the relationship between a servant and his Lord, prescribes metaphysical and ethical bases, determines rituals and stipulates limits, then, in the terminology of the Quran, this is called religion. The form of this religion which the Almighty has explained to mankind through His Prophet is called the religion, or ad-deen, by the Quran, and its followers are directed by the Quran to fully and faithfully adopt it in their lives and not create any divisions in it. Content of religion. The metaphysical and moral bases of this worship which have been prescribed by religion are called al-hikmah, and the rituals and limits prescribed for it by religion are called al-kitab by the Quran. The latter is also called sharia, which means divine law. Al-hikmah has always remained the same in all revealed religions. However, al-kitab has remained different due to evolution and change in human civilizations and societies. A study of divine scriptures shows that Sharia constitutes the major portion of the Torah, and Hikmah generally constitutes the Injil. The Psalms are hymns which glorify the Almighty and are a forerunner to the hikmah of the Injil. The Quran was revealed as a masterpiece of literature comprising both Sharia and hikmah, giving warning to those who evade it and glad tidings to those who follow it. Al-Hikmah basically comprises the following two topics. 1. Faith. 2. Morals and morality. Al-Kitab comprises the following 10 topics. 1. The Sharia of worship rituals. 2. The social Sharia. 3. The political Sharia. 4. The economic Sharia. 5. The Sharia of preaching. 6. The Sharia of jihad. 7. The penal Sharia. 8. The dietary Sharia. 9. Islamic customs and etiquette. 10. Oaths and atonements. This is all as far as the content of religion is concerned. Prophets and messengers. The envoys of God who have brought this religion are called prophets. A study of the Quran shows that besides being assigned the position of prophethood or nabuwa, some of them were also assigned the position of messengerhood or risala. Prophethood means that a person, after receiving divine revelation, teaches the truth to his addressees and gives glad tidings of a good fate in the hereafter to those who accept the truth, and warns those among them who reject it that an evil fate awaits them. In the terminology of the Quran, giving such glad tidings is called bashara, and giving such warnings is called inzar. Messengerhood or risala means that a prophet is assigned to his people such that he decides their fate through divine sanction, so that if they reject him, he practically enforces the supremacy of the truth upon them by implementing on them God's judgment in this very world. The way this established practice about messengerhood manifests itself is that the Almighty selects his messengers so that reward and punishment can be meted out in this world through them before the actual day of judgment. It becomes a miniature rehearsal of what is going to take place on that day. These messengers are told that if they honor the covenant with God, they will be rewarded in this very world, and if they do not do so, they will be punished in this very world. The result is that the very existence of these messengers becomes a sign of God, and it is as if their people can observe God walking on this earth with these messengers and delivering his verdicts. They are also directed to propagate the truth they have seen from the mind's eye to the people and deliver with full certainty the very guidance of God, the way they have received it from him. In the terminology of the Quran, this is called shahada. Once this is established, it becomes a basis of the judgment of the Almighty, both in this world and in that to come. Consequently, the Almighty grants dominance to these messengers and punishes those who reject the message presented by these messengers. This position of shahada was bestowed, besides messengers, upon the progeny of Abraham, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, too. For this reason, the Quran called them an intermediate group between God's messenger and his creation, and asserted that they have been chosen for this position just as the Almighty chooses some great personalities among mankind and grants them the status of a prophet or a messenger. Purpose of divine books. Generally, the Almighty has also revealed his books with prophets and messengers, and according to the Quran, the purpose of their revelation is to judge between what is right and what is wrong, so that people can resolve their difference through them. In this manner, they are able to adhere to justice regarding the truth. The responsibility of Inzar. The chain of prophets and messengers began with Adam sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ended on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After his departure, divine revelation ceased and the institution of prophethood was terminated. Consequently, the responsibility of Inzar, which is to warn people to adhere to their religion, now lies with the scholars of the Ummah till the day of judgment. Islam, the name of this religion. The religion introduced in the foregoing paragraphs is called Islam, and the Almighty has asserted in the Quran that no other religion is acceptable to him. Just as the word Islam is used for the whole corpus of religion, it is also sometimes used to imply its outer form. As regards its outer form, it consists of the following five things. 1. Bearing witness that there is no God besides Allah and Muhammad is His messenger. 2. Offering the prayer. 3. Paying zakah. 4. Keeping the fasts of Ramadan. 5. Offering the Hajj of the Baytullah. Iman, the inner aspect of religion. The inner aspect of religion is Iman, or belief. As per its details mentioned in the Quran, this inner aspect also consists of five things. 1. Belief in God. 2. Belief in the angels. 3. Belief in the prophets. 4. Belief in divine books. 5. Belief in the day of judgment. Permanent requirements of Iman. When this Iman in its essence enters the heart and receives its confirmation from it, then on the very basis of its presence requires two things. 1. Righteous deeds or amal-e-salih. 2. Urging one another to the truth and urging one another to remain steadfast on it, or tawasi bil-haq wa tawasi bil-sabr. As far as righteous deeds are concerned, all deeds which result once the morals of a person are purified are called righteous deeds. All their bases are found in human intellect and nature, and the Sharia of God has been revealed to guide mankind towards these righteous deeds. Urging one another to the truth and urging one another to remain steadfast on it relates to one's immediate surroundings. This is an obvious requirement of accepting the truth and is also termed as Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar by the Quran, implying the fact that a person should urge those in his surroundings what is Ma'ruf according to human intellect and nature and forbid them from what is Munkar according to it. Contingent requirements of Iman. Described above are the requirements of faith in ordinary circumstances. However, there are certain circumstances in which three other requirements can arise. They are: 1. Migration for the cause of religion, or hijrah. 2. Supporting the cause of religion, or nusra. 3. Adhering to justice, or qiyam bil qist. Their details follow. 1. Migration for the cause of religion, or hijrah. If it becomes difficult for a person to worship the Almighty, he is persecuted for his religious beliefs, and it becomes impossible for him to live as a declared Muslim, then his faith requires him to shift to another place where he can openly practice his faith. In the terminology of the Quran, this is called hijrah or migration, and the person who evades it when it becomes necessary, even after a prophet of God gives a call for it, has been promised the dreadful doom of hell by the Almighty. 2. Supporting the cause of religion, or nusra. If there arise circumstances in which, for the purpose of protection or dissemination of religion, some action is required to be taken, it is a requirement of faith that one should present this support by offering his life and wealth for this purpose. In the terminology of the Quran, this is called nusra of the Almighty, and it asserts that if at some time this requirement arises, a true believer should give it the foremost priority, and nothing in this world should be dearer to him. 3. Adhering to justice, or qiyam bil qist. If emotions, vested interests, and biases try to divert a person from justice in some worldly or religious matter, his faith requires him not only to adhere to justice, but also if his witness is required in these matters, he should do so even at the expense of his life. He should uphold the truth by saying what is the truth and surrendering before it. He should adhere to justice and bear witness to it and stick to it in his beliefs and deeds. This is called qiyam bil qist, or adhering to justice, by the Quran. The objective of religion. The objective of this religion stated in the Quran is tazkiyah, or purification. It means that the individual and collective lives of people should be purified and their beliefs and deeds be developed in the right direction. At many places in the Quran, it has been mentioned that the objective of mankind is to enter paradise, and only those people have been promised paradise who have purified their souls. Therefore, it is tazkiyah which is the objective and purpose of religion. It is for this end that the prophets were sent, and the whole religion was revealed to guide man in attaining this objective. The correct religious attitude. The correct attitude which the followers of this religion should adopt is called ihsan. It means to do something in the best possible way. It manifests itself when a person worships the Almighty while considering himself to be standing before Him, because if he is not able to see Him, at least God is observing him.